Hi there, and thanks for joining us on this episode, the demise of beanbags and sleep pods as office perks, the man who wants to make an industry out of maths, and the last sector to recover. We ask when events will become normal again. I'm Jonathan Healy, and this is Red Business.
Red Business, Cork's exclusive business podcast.
Now, our next guest believes the days of ping pong tables and giant beanbags lying around the office are behind us. David Kindlan is the chief executive of Epion, an Irish company that helps organisations leverage technology to manage HR and employee benefits. David, how are you?
I'm great, Jonathan. Thanks very much for having me on.
At the whole point of having beanbags around the office and ping pong tables, and I do remember going into a particular tech company in Dublin that once had sleep pods, it was to try and entice people to come to the office and spend their time there. Are you telling us that money has all been wasted?
Yeah, well, I don't think it's been wasted. I think just like everything in life, the world is changing. And COVID obviously made things change just that little bit quicker. You know, with technology nowadays, Jonathan, we can all work remotely. As you know yourself, I'm currently working out of Manchester today, over here meeting the team. It's my first trip since March of 2020. But having the ability to work anywhere remotely, you can do it. So, you know, the beanbag in the office is now potentially the beanbag sitting in your living room at home.
And I'm going to come back to the whole beanbag thing in a minute. If it's your first trip in the office, I haven't gone on a plane yet. It's one of the things I will hopefully do before the end of the year. What was it like? I mean, what was it? Was it as daunting as it might seem to people who haven't flown for 18 months?
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm not a nervous person, that's for sure. There was certainly an air of what do I need to do, and you know, obviously getting organised to get out and making sure you had enough, you know, enough masks to keep you going, and you wanted to understand the local laws. I mean, I was in London Monday and Tuesday. I was in Edinburgh yesterday, and I'm in Manchester today and tomorrow. And you know, London was very much open, and you had a choice whether you wore a mask or not. Up in Edinburgh, once you were indoors, you had to wear a mask, similar to Ireland. You didn't have to present your COVID cert, your vaccination certificate anywhere. But yeah, look, it was strange. I mean, and London, you know, pre-COVID, I was in London probably, you know, at least 2 to 3 times a month. We've an office in Manchester, we've an office in London, and I would have been in London quite a bit. And London obviously is a buzzing city, but it was eerily quiet. And don't get me wrong, there were people on the streets, and there was lots of people outside eating. I mean, the sun was out, it was 28 degrees, the sun was out, but everywhere indoors was empty. Lots of people sitting out on the street eating, you know, eating, drinking, and whatever they're doing at lunchtime.
But they're still behaving differently to how they would have done before.
Absolutely.
It'll happen eventually, we'll get used to it. But come here, given that people are still a little bit cautious, I'd imagine the clever companies right now are working out how to hold on to those people by giving them perks. What are the kind of things that you're seeing companies introducing now to keep the staff happy?
Employee benefits have always existed, but during COVID and during lockdowns and stuff like that, you know, mental wellness, mental health was very much at the front of employers' minds. You know, how do you keep your employees active, engaged, but also how do you look after them? So a lot of companies that were out there who historically wouldn't have provided benefits, they were now coming to the table saying, you know, how do we implement benefits? You know, how do we bring in a benefits strategy to the table? What does it look like? What are the costs involved? You know, so we're seeing everything from, you know, the kind of the weird and wonderful right through to, you know, some really, you know, I suppose some really thought out stuff. You know, so you take the weird and the wonderful. I mean, you know, we've seen companies that have provided, you know, subscription services to socks, you know. So if you're into wearing your socks, the things you put in your feet. So if you're someone who's into your fashion and you want to wear different colored socks every day, there's a subscription service out there that you get different socks sent to you every month. You know, there's
is that not a bit of a waste of time if people are working from home a lot? You're sitting there changing your socks regularly, but no one to appreciate them.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's getting you ready for the big bad world when it opens up again, you know. So, yeah, good point, Jonathan. I never really thought of that. But then again, not everyone's sitting around in shorts and T-shirts. I certainly was. I mean, you know, even coming on this trip, you know, to put on a jacket and a pair of trousers was a bit strange. I've been wearing shorts and flip-flops for the last 9 months, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm there as well. I have to say, putting on trousers this week, that sounds weird. But putting them on felt a little unusual, having been in the shorts for so long. But yeah, how much of this do you think is going to taper off? That, yes, we need to keep everybody happy right now, but then the cold-hearted employers will kick back in and go, we're taking it all away from you again, because we know that you're not going anywhere, that we have you back in the office.
Well, look, every business has their own strategy as to, you know, how their retention policy will work internally. You know, the clever employers out there will embrace the change, and they will adapt according to what the market is telling them. If you look at it at the moment, it's very much an employee market out there at the moment. I heard a statistic yesterday here in the UK, there's 1.6 million job openings in the UK. Which is, it's enormous. And, you know, if you're an employer out there and you're looking to get good people, you're going to have to bring added value to the table, because it's not just about salary. It's about the additional benefits. And I'm not just talking about financial benefits being, you know, life cover, medical insurance, your pension. You know, we're talking about other, you know, flexible working, for example, you know, increased annual leave entitlement, allowing people take time off when it's relevant to them. So, you know, if you have a young family at home and you want to spend more time with them during the summer, you might want to take extended leave. You might want to take, you know, unpaid leave. So the ability to buy additional annual leave. These are all benefits that can be brought in on top of your basic salary. And they're the kind of benefits that people will appreciate, because it's relevant to them. So instead of throwing somebody in their early 20s a bit of life cover and medical insurance, they're not really concerned, because, you know, I know not everyone in their 20s is fit and healthy, but the majority of them are. So, you know, they look at it and go, well, life insurance isn't really relevant to me as a 20-year-old. So, you know.
Is it that group in particular that we need to really watch? Because they're the ones who are the most likely to move. They're the ones who are, you know, let's face it, the coming force in the workforce, yeah, those in their early 20s. These guys are flighty creatures.
Absolutely. Future leaders, you know. So, I mean, absolutely. And, you know, it's not to say that, you know, it's not to say that the way they think things should happen is the way that things should happen. But if you don't bring it into your thought process, I mean, if we all, you know, stick our heels in the ground and say, nope, we're not moving, this is the way it's going to be. Yeah, you know, you're going to be left behind, because there's an awful lot of clever employers out there who will adapt and who will change. You know, I mean, again, you go back 18 months, Jonathan. You know, if somebody turned around to you and said, look, everybody's going to be working from home for the next 18 months, you'd have laughed at them and said, there's no chance. Businesses wouldn't be able to adapt that quickly. You know, and again, I fully understand that an awful lot of businesses had to work through the pandemic, people who actually had to go to work on a daily basis so that we could all live and eat, and, you know, services that had to be provided. So there were a lot of people who continued to work. But, you know, the amount of businesses that had to change the way they did things, and they managed to do it overnight, you know, you never would have thought that it would have happened, but it did. And it happened quite seamlessly.
Yep, and it's here to stay as well. And keeping everybody happy is part of the new way of working, whether employers like it or not. David Kindland, CEO of Epion, epion.com, the website. Thanks for joining us, David.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Red Business, all that's best about business in Cork.
Our next guest is promising to help kids and teenagers get a handle on maths through online classes, promising 21st century teaching. Breakthrough Maths has a team of male and female tutors dedicated to ending students' and parents' maths anxiety. And boy, do I have memories of that. Founder and CEO of Breakthrough Maths, TJ Hegarty, how are you?
Fantastic. Thank you, Jonathan, for having me on.
This was not your starting point in your career, was it? I mean, you had a great career set up in a different industry, and you decided, do you know what, I'm going to go back to maths.
Yeah, you could look at it like that. I am... It's always been there, though. I did my Leaving Cert way back in 2012, and I remember the pain of doing maths. I remember the pain of the Leaving Cert. I remember the pain of picking a course at university. And I started teaching maths after my Leaving Cert privately, just doing tuition and doing my local community in Whitechurch. And it kind of spawned from there. And when COVID hit and when the opportunity was there for people who needed extra help with school and support, the iron was hot and I said, yeah, now's the time to make a go of it and radically change my career.
Yeah, and it seems to be paying dividends because how many students have you helped in the last couple of months? And you also had the added change of doing it all online because you couldn't do one-on-one classes anymore.
It was a big difference. Zoom is what we use online. And last year we thought over 100 students online, and it spawned each start of term and grew and grew. And I realized the power of Zoom. Yeah, and the fact that students could go play a hurling match or play a football match and do a maths lesson before it or after it, and simply by clicking a link and you're into a small class. And Zoom has been fantastic. It really has. A lot of people have apprehension towards it, you know, about I'm not sure if they'll learn, I'm not sure how they feel about it. But trust me, once they get into it, they see the teacher, they're in a small class and you get the same level of engagement and a much more convenient way of doing it.
I mean, just taking my own experience, when I went to Gloucestershire 800 years ago, Liam Byrne and Ted Sullivan, two brilliant maths teachers. And the reason why I loved maths and I did well in maths was because, you know, you were given that personal attention. You were given that one-on-one that helped you get the thought processes together that solve the problem. Is that what you're trying to emulate, to take it away from the group class learning, big group, and just empower people a little bit more when they're in a smaller group with direct access to a teacher?
Absolutely. Look, I'll put it this way, right? Look, maths is its own language. And you mentioned maths to everybody, and you'll probably notice as well, Jonathan, that it can there's a term called maths anxiety. It's a real thing. Yeah, maths is its own language and needs extra support. And I was thinking, right, so you're in school and you're in a class of 20, 30 people, and it can be quite daunting to put your hand up, especially when you're in younger years, you know, first, second, third year, especially, never mind the older years. And I just said, right, what's the point in getting extra tuition in a big class environment? And I'd done it myself, gone into private tuition schools with another 40 or 45 people in a class. And I just said, oh my God, this is so impersonable. I just feel like going through a system, you know? And I decided just making small groups, a group of maybe 6, 7 pupils in a group, a teacher there who meets you every single week, engages you twice a week. And it's almost like your support network. He's your comfort that when you're stuck, you go to him every week and say, hey, Peter, I couldn't get this during the week. Could you give me a hand? And they've loved it. The feedback has been phenomenal.
And do you think that there's a problem with how we're teaching maths, TJ? I mean, are we coming at it the wrong way that means that breakthrough maths is required? I mean, you'd like to think that you're not needed because we do enough maths in school.
I said at the start, maths is its own language. It's very different. Maths is a very different subject to like a science or history or geography, you know, where you just learn a diagram or learn this. Maths is its own language, its own set of problems, problem solving. You don't get that in the 7 or 8 other subjects that you do. Yeah, so it does need the extra support. And there's 25 extra points for a reason, Jonathan, in maths, for higher level maths. And it takes a 25% extra effort. So getting extra tuition makes sense when you put it like that, you know? And I think schools are doing a good job. I think Project Maths has been difficult, but it's improving, and the whole landscape has changed, Jonathan. Yeah, look at TikTok and look at these things that students are on, and there's maths kind of tutors on TikTok who have millions and millions of views, and people are just watching this organically off their own free will, and people are getting interested in it. So the whole world is changing because of technology, and maths is so fascinating. There's so much enjoyment of doing a challenge, and technology is helping to foster that ambition and that enjoyment.
Well, your own ambition is impressive as well. You're looking to roll this out to more students. You're looking at hiring more teachers. Where do you see Breakthrough Maths going next, TJ?
Going to take it step by step. I think this year we'll probably hit 250 students, and we'd look to replicate that in the following academic year, 2022-2023. We're looking at the UK and to test and learn and see if our system would work over there, and also thinking of potentially working with deaf schools down the line. You know, this is the whole premise of what we're doing is one thing: small classes in a click. And there is huge scope of that.
You think that works just as well in the UK as it would anywhere else?
Absolutely. Find the right teacher, let them click into a link, find 6 or 7 students of similar ability, click a link, you're into your Zoom class, 45 minutes, and you walk out a foot higher.
Height growth not guaranteed, but better math, definitely understood. How can people find you, TJ, if they're looking up Breakthrough Maths?
We just Breakthrough Maths, Google breakthroughmaths.com, and we're on Facebook, on Instagram, we've got a huge following there, and we're also on TikTok, so if you want to see any little tips and maths and any little videos, TikTok and YouTube as well, Breakthrough Maths.
Okay, I'm too old for TikTok, but I'll take your word for it. TJ Hegarty, founder and CEO of Breakthrough Maths. Thanks so much for joining us on Red Business, TJ.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Jonathan.
The only show in town for Cork business, Red Business.
Reopening the country and the economy is continuing, with lots of industries trying to pick up the pieces of the last year and a half and figuring out how this new world will work for them. The manager of the Cork Convention Bureau is Evelyn O'Sullivan. Evelyn, lovely to talk to you again. It's a pity we don't meet each other at events like we used to. What's the sense right now amongst people trying to organise events about when things can return back to normal?
Hi, Jonathan. And yeah, thanks a million. Great opportunity to chat to you today. Yeah, you're so right. Remember when we had you as MC down in our early morning events in Parkakeev, when we had all of the hoteliers and all of the buyers coming in?
I look back with such fond memories on actually being in a room with people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so they were such, I mean, you know, we continued to liaise with our hotel members and venues throughout the whole lockdown, and life has been so difficult for them. But we are coming through the other side, and we're actually nice and busy now again. And our main focus is international association conferences. So we over the summer we submitted 2 bids for international conferences for 2023. People are, I suppose, 2021 in terms of an in-person event isn't really a runner. There are a couple of very, very hopeful people still hanging in there towards the end of 2021, but generally it's online conferences for 2021. Then we're seeing people quite confident about conferences that they had planned for maybe kind of April, May 2022 onwards, that they're confident. We have a 600 person conference that's hoping very much so to go ahead. I'm chatting with her later today, Jenny Butler in UCC, in an international conference in June 2022. They haven't looked at a plan B hybrid option or anything. They'll probably have to provide something because it's becoming the norm. But people sort of throw that out there a little bit, in my opinion, casually as well, about the whole hybrid thing, because there's a huge cost element to running both an in-person and
well, yeah, no, online. You can't. Yeah. It's very hard to do both, you know, as somebody who MCs gigs on a regular basis. But as I said at the start of this episode, you guys are going to be the last sector to recover. And you've kind of outlined it there. And it's because your lead-in times are so long to get to your events. You're talking about events in 22 and 23. If you were saying that to any other sector, they'd go, how long is it going to take to get back to normal?
Absolutely. That's it. Exactly. And you see, I suppose, so the association conferences will come back, and it'll be second half of 2022, 23, 24, as you said. But I suppose the difficult area I would see is the corporate meetings. We don't know when they might come back. And a lot of the corporate meetings, especially for our Cork City hotels, it was their bread and butter, as we all know, for in between, you know, an international conference is fantastic. And it's fantastic for that week or that couple of weeks. I suppose we had so much business on our books. It was corporate meetings. It was incentives, which is like the high end staff reward programs, conferences, the association conferences. So we were able to give the member hotels a lot of leads for different types of business. But I mean, we're not working on anything at the moment, if that gives you kind of an idea of what we're at, except
for that shows you where the sector actually is. Now, you're a corporate partner and a supporter of AIPCO, who are campaigning at this on a national level. I have to ask you, the government's grand opening strategy, reopening strategy that we heard so much about in the last couple of weeks, is there much comfort in there for people like yourselves who are trying to organise events and conferences?
There is. I mean, this morning I was on a French workshop, an online workshop with Tourism Ireland, and it was obviously in French, and then it was translated for our Corkies, afterwards what we were saying. But I suppose the message there was that, that there's a plan in place. October 22nd is a big date for all of us. And then it's a case of, you know, there is a plan there. You know, we now have a definite, we've got a plan of action. Consider talking to your clients about Ireland, about Cork, about Dublin, about wherever, for after that plan. And that makes so much difference. The clients were like probably nodding and taking notes and thinking, okay, finally now we can think properly. I suppose so many countries are so many business decisions and travel and conferences are being made based on what's happening in each country and the restrictions and how strict they are and how strict they are not, or what's on green list, etc. And it's becoming a bit of a mind boggle, you know. So I suppose from the message, like we said this morning now at that Tourism Ireland workshop, was like 22nd of October, from then on, you can start bringing, you know, your clients in with obviously certain, you know, things in place in terms of being aware of what their own country's access and entry points are and everything. But it's just really sort of, I suppose it's quite refreshing to have something like that to work towards, because I was a bit unsure all along.
Well, the optimism is a little bit there now, whereas previously it wasn't. Just to finish up, and I suppose to put this into context, we're talking about, and everybody was impacted by the pandemic in some ways, and it's not fair to compare sectors with sectors because there's always going to be little differences. But in your sector, that planning, if you get the conferences in, the hotels benefit, the restaurants benefit, the pubs benefit, the whole city benefits. So in other words, when you guys get back up and running, the better it is for the local economy, because there's more money coming in. So we're still a bit away from that by the sound of it.
We're still a bit away, but I mean, it's very positive that people are putting in official bids for conferences to come to Cork in 2023, where the value of every delegate is €1,600. And like, that's even to have that book, that business in the pipeline, as we say, you know, to have it on the books or to have it in the pipeline, whichever, it's just something really positive to look forward to. Yeah, like you're spot on. Like we, you know, even from personal levels, I'm doing this job for like over 10 years, and talk about being in the eye of the storm, for like being in the perfect role to get affected. My job is like to bring in international large groups of people into our region. So it was heartbreaking, but you know, the resilience of the members and the hotels, you must know, you must see yourself, like they're unbelievable. And the kind of the fight back, and for all of us, and you know, our small team, Seamus, myself, Anne and Jeremy, like we're so used to being busy that it was like a shock.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. We like being out and about and all that.
But yeah, well, and not meeting people, it's a killer. It's an absolute killer. Evan, I can't wait to be back down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh with you, drinking tea and eating croissants and giving out about croissants. But look, we'll get there eventually. Manager of the Cork Convention Bureau, Evelyn O'Sullivan, we hope you have many busy days ahead, and thanks so much for joining us on Red Business.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Appreciate it.
My thanks as always to all of my guests. Don't forget, you can listen back to every episode right now on redextra.ie. Ciara McDonough was the producer, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Red Business, Cork's exclusive business podcast.